shit, what are we gonna do now?
Hello everyone, it is 2020. I am TFG1 Mike. This is TuneCast, all tunes, all the time. This was originally recorded in 2019 as episode 231, but you would have already heard episode 231 as our Animaniacs Season 1 reboot Hulu episode. This episode was myself and Optimus Solo talking about Scooby-Doo, Guess Who, Chris Paul, Season 1, Episode 1 of Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. And I just now remembered that this was episode 231 that we recorded over a year ago. My computer has been in storage since that time. I'm old. I forgot. I'm sorry. Please enjoy the podcast.
So, this is the school. It means a lot to me.
So, Mr. Paul, this art school is funded by the golf tournament?
Yeah. And if it doesn't happen, the school will be forced to close. And that can't happen.
Better get used to it not being here, Mr. Paul. With half the golfers missing or having quit because of that horrible swamp monster, we might as well pack up and go home now.
Boy, she's a negative, Nellie.
You know it, Fred. But listen here, she is not why I'm doing this.
We are.
It's kind of my thing to promote healthy activities for kids.
Am I like teaching them basketball?
Nope.
By golfing?
Nope. Bowling.
Let me get this right. Basketball legend and assist king Chris Paul
is playing in a golf tournament
to save an art school
so he can teach him bowling?
Now you're getting it. I invented these outdoor bowling lanes so everyone can enjoy bowling and be outside at the same time.
All right, Toonsters, welcome back to TuneCast. In today's episode, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of Scooby-Doo by kicking off a 13-episode block dedicated to the new series, Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. This is a modern version of the new Scooby-Doo movies from 1972. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike, and in the style of the new Scooby movies and the Scooby-Doo and Guess Who, I'm having mystery guests each episode, this week helping me talk about Scooby-Doo and Guess Who, episode 1, featuring Chris Paul, is Mr. Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
I am here.
You are here, and TuneCast is continuing. Folks, I gotta say, life is gonna be hitting me in the nuts a lot throughout the rest of 2019. So the weekly thing, the daily thing that we've been promising, that's probably not going to happen until next year sometime. However, because this is the 50th year of Scooby-Doo, and we have this new series on Boomerang, we still wanted to give you guys weekly content. And we've got all these episodes that are coming up. Now, when did you first hear about Scooby-Doo and Guess Who?
When it was announced.
Okay. What was your initial reaction to it?
I don't have much reaction anymore to Scooby-Doo because there's a new thing every year. There's a new movie. There's a new series, it seems like, every couple of years. So it's like, oh, this is what's next. I guess my one reaction was it was cool that it seemed like it was going back to like the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo or the Scooby-Doo movies where they have like the guests and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a little cool trip down nostalgia, you know, lane or whatever, compared to like the movies that they're doing, which are like always WWE and Scooby-Doo or something like that.
Now, those are crossovers that you can complain about.
Yeah, so I guess it's better than that, but we'll get into how it works when we get into more of the episode. But that was kind of my reaction was, there's another spin on it. Cool. You know, I liked Mystery Inc. When it was showing, what, like 7, 8 years ago or however long.
Yep.
It's been since that. There was another series or two that came out after that that I wasn't as big of a fan of. So I was like, well, we'll see what this one's like.
Yeah. And for me, basically, oh, yay, modern version of Scooby-Doo movies. Very, very cool. Absolutely love it. And what I think is absolutely interesting with this is, and I don't think they did this with the original, because, hello, 1972. Technology wasn't really there to do it, I don't think. They basically hide the guests until, like, it. My Boomerang app, and well, the Boomerang app basically says this will be revealed on this date, so you don't actually see, like, you can kind of tell a little bit, like, there's an episode in here that's, oh, of course that's Urkel, and of course the news of it will be out there, but for the most part I'm perfectly happy being surprised at who shows up. And in this first episode, we've got basketball player Chris Paul. Okay. Yep. to set the stage, basically, Chris Paul and Shaggy know each other. And apparently Shaggy saved his life once. So
yeah, apparently he saved his life, and apparently Chris Paul gave him some food once.
Yeah. This took me back to the original, like the whole, oh, who's this or who's that or who are we going to come up against kind of thing. And, you know, a basketball player who does, you know, the whole, you know, not entrepreneurial, the whole charity thing and whatever else. But, you know, most basketball players are also avid golfers. So this takes place on a mini golf course. Or not mini golf, a regular golf course kind of thing. Yeah. And, sorry, I was confusing it with holy moly. And yeah, they have to basically figure out who's trying to put a stop to this tournament, because all the tournament people are disappearing.
Yeah, it's an interesting setting, because what you have here is you have a golf course, you have a celebrity guest that's a basketball player. And his reason for trying to solve the mystery is because he does an outdoor bowling thing for kids. So we have golf, bowling, and basketball.
There you go. Three sports that are all... I don't
know if that makes sense.
But. You want to talk about crossovers not making sense. Right there. Those three sports. That doesn't make any damn sense to me.
Like, you got Chris Paul in here and there's no basketball to be had whatsoever.
Exactly.
Kind of an odd...
I mean...
And then you have golf and bowling.
He does kind of work it in at the end with the basketball, because he does the driving golf court thing and swing. So I guess basketball moves are in there somewhere, but right. It's very strange.
Yeah.
After you
walk too far into it.
Go ahead.
I did want to mention that I do, you know, just from like a standpoint where we're not talking about the specific episode, but maybe the series in general a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do think the intro is good. The intro is very quick, but I think it does a good job of kind of just setting it up real quick. I like the update of the song that they do. So I think that's cool. They do reveal the guest right at the beginning of whoever the guest is going to be for that episode. And I do like the visual look of the characters. Like, I think they do a good job with how they have stylized or designed the characters as far as the look goes. That's one thing I had a problem with one of the previous series, was it looked really not in my taste, which is fine. It doesn't have to be my taste, but that's, this one is more what I think of when I think of Scooby-Doo. Voice cast, obviously it's the usual. So yeah. You don't have too much to speak of as far as the voice cast, because it's a lot of the same voices we've heard for years, and in Frank Welker's case, decades.
Yes. So just to run it down really quick, Frank Welker plays Fred and Scooby, because he took over the Scooby role after a while. Gray Delisle Griffin as Daphne. She's been Daphne for the longest time. Sadly, it's been 5 years since Casey Kasem passed away, so Matthew Lillard. And that was one of my biggest, I have to say, once Casey was no longer with us, and I know he was pretty much in retirement at that point anyway, who was going to voice Shaggy? And for me, and I know everyone hates the live-action Scooby movies, but once I saw him on screen as Shaggy and heard his voice as Shaggy, I'm like, Matthew Lillard is the only person for me after Casey that can voice Shaggy. Right. And then Kate Micucci as Velma. So yeah, the main cast is there.
That's the difference. There is the Velma is a new voice. Well, not new voice, but not the one that has been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you get the guest of each episode doing their voice. And let's just say that Chris Paul is a garbage voice actor. So that is hard to listen to.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like just some of my general thoughts of the show. But I mean, man, if you have to rely on guests, I mean, I guess they're doing it because they're trying to grab different audiences, and so they're picking random celebrities that they think have some sway or whatever, but God, that was painful listening to him talk.
Okay, so even though we're doing these as surprises each time, do we want to go through the voice cast? Because I know everybody that, like, I'm looking at it right now as like, or do we want to just keep it a surprise each episode?
Just keep that, and we'll talk about each one, or you can talk about each one as it comes up, but it wasn't a great one to start with Chris Paul. I would just say that. Like, the animation and the look was fine, but the voice, he's not a good actor, so there's that. I did like in the episode how they kind of give the stereotypes for the bad guys via the golf announcer.
Yep.
They're like, this guy is the prototypical blah, 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 that does, you know, the greedy whatever, or the person that has a bunch of land, or, you know, different stuff like that. I thought that was kind of a clever, almost a breaking of the fourth wall type thing.
Yep.
And it saved a lot of time in as far as not having to, not insult intelligence, but not having to drag it out. They're just like, this is this guy. We also got to see Scooby as the announcer, and that was some of Frank's best work as Scooby, in my opinion.
It was some of Frank's best work, I will say that. However,
as far as Scooby goes, I'm not saying like as far as like Fred or other characters.
Right. As far as Scooby goes, but here's my biggest problem with this series. Scooby talks too much.
He did talk a lot.
I'm not saying Frank Welker has to imitate Don Messick at all. Not saying that. They're two very individual voices. They're two very individual people. May Don Messick rest in peace, obviously. However, when I can hear Frank Welker in the character more than I can hear the character, that's when I have an issue. And that's my only... Throughout the rest of these episodes that we do, that's my only main gripe with this series, other than some of, you know, the traditional Scooby gripes of, oh, how could they have done that, or how, you know. But, like, an actual negative gripe for me is that when Scooby talks too much and I can hear Frank's voice more than Scooby's voice, like, if he talks too long...
Yeah.
There were points in this episode, there are points in other ones that I can kind of hear a little bit of, it's not as deep, because the voice that I'm going to reference is deeper than what he's doing with Scooby. I almost hear the Cave of Wonders voice in my head as I'm listening to him. So that's really my only negative. Like, I went into the series excited. I'm like, oh, cool. It's like I already said, it's like the original Scooby movies. It's this, it's that, it's whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. I like all that. Hey, wait, that dog is talking way too much.
See, I kind of liked it in this episode because Scooby never gets to do anything but besides his, like, or, you know, like, whatever. So I was like, oh, he's actually getting some lines, and I enjoyed that in this episode. Now I haven't watched any of the other episodes, so I don't know how it continues or great on my nerves or not. But I kind of enjoyed it for this once because I'm like, oh, Scooby's actually getting to speak. I like that. But, you do get some classic Scooby chases where they're going in one door, out the other door type thing. So that's cool, I guess. They did a couple things that I thought was somewhat interesting. One, even though I like how they give the stereotypes of the bad guys with the golf announcer, I don't know if by doing that they thought then they didn't have to interact with any of the suspects. Because usually in these types of shows, you get some interaction with the various suspects, and it helps you trying to decide who was the bad person.
Yeah.
And this one, they literally never show you any of the suspects. It's all Chris Paul the entire time. And I think that's a mistake. I think that's a misstep. Because you're doing a mystery and you're doing a thing where we're supposed to be like whodunit type thing. Mm-hmm. And then I don't need to just see Chris Paul. I needed to see him interact with the owner of this or the other rich guy or the landowner or, you know, whatever. I can't even remember the guys because they didn't spend any time to make that matter to me. But I think they should have done more with the actual suspects. My other note, and then I'll let you respond to either thing, is they are choosing to date themselves a little bit. I don't know if it's just trying to be hip with the current times or try to like strike a chord with kids. It won't age well though when they're using phrases like that was sick advice or that's a bomb pizza or things of that nature. So I don't know if that's good. I mean, it's probably good in the moment, but it's not going to sound good 10 years from now or whatever. Not that they care.
Yeah. I think it, like, yeah, some of the dialogue is going to be a little dated, but I think for the most part it'll be okay. It just depends on, like, who's saying it, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what it depends on. Like, I'm sorry, I've been out of basketball for a long time. I mean, I've heard his name, but I couldn't tell you what team he played for unless he specifically said it or unless it was said. Right. You know, like, you put Michael Jordan in there, you put Larry Bird in there, you put, whomever in there. Sure, great, absolutely, because that's obviously from the generation of like, I know no current basketball players other than the ones that are constantly.
You know, LeBron James.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Other than the ones that are, like, constantly making the news, like, yeah. LeBron James and Space Jam and Space Jam 2. Oh, God.
A couple other nitpicks on this one that I had, and I won't necessarily say who the bad person is. I don't know if we're doing that or not, but the whodunit, the villain of mm-hmm. this episode, the voice absolutely does not fit the visual of that character.
I mean, first of all, I guess we could say,
looks like a little kid.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
and I don't buy the terrible explanation they give for how he's able to do everything, because one of the things that they're talking about is how strong he needs to be, mm-hmm. and they're like, golfing makes you freakishly strong. That has to be a joke, but it's not funny and it's not realistic. Like, what? Golfing makes you freakishly strong? Like, that's an odd thing. Like, that doesn't explain how he was able to do that, because golfing doesn't make you strong. So that was odd, and also probably a joke that just was over my head or I didn't land for me, but outdoor bowling? Why would you ever want to do an outdoor bowling thing?
That makes no sense to me at all. Yeah, like, I agree with you on that.
I get, and it's all probably jokes, and it's all probably funny to people, but I was just like, well, this is odd. This is odd. And why would we say that golfing makes you freakishly strong? I know I'm being, like, so nitpicky stupid right now as far as, like, an old man get off my lawn type thing, but those are the things that didn't work for me.
Yeah, and I agree. Outdoor bowling is a little nuts. I will say that, you know, it is all to help the center, the children's home or the children's...
Most of those are nitpicks. My only real gripe with it is, again, they did not spend nearly enough time with any suspects.
Yeah.
And I find that problematic when you're doing this type of show.
Yeah, very true.
I get they wanted to focus on Chris Paul, but he could have been interacting with some of the suspects instead of just with the mystery gang.
Yep. I would agree with you there.
Based on this episode, like, what is your thoughts? Like, did you enjoy this episode overall?
Because it was new to me, I had not, obviously it's a new series, it's the first of a new series, and obviously these are all going to be individual things, but I kind of dug it when I first watched it. I've watched it like 4 times in total, because been trying to get this thing recorded for like months now, folks. But sure. It's one of those things where when I first watched it, when I first heard about the series and I first sat down to watch it, I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I like that. I think that's interesting. I like the fact that Shaggy and Scooby and the entire mystery gang have lives other than, like, you don't know me so well as you think you do, kind of like Shaggy, you saved his life, you know, kind of like something else happened right. to these characters besides just solving mysteries. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I like that. Not necessarily a fan of Chris Paul, because again, like I already said, I don't really know the guy, so it's like I couldn't get too excited for the guest.
Mm.
But overall, I thought it was a good start.
I mean, I like all the tertiary stuff, I guess. I like the intro. I like the song. I like mm-hmm. how they reveal the guest. I like the look of the characters. I like the voice cast. I like some of the nostalgic things that they're doing. I think when it came down to the meat and potatoes of the episode, for me, though, it missed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I think it was like 5 or because these are, we should also say this, surprised me, these are 22-minute episodes. These are 30-minute shows, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, 22 minutes because it's on Boomerang. There's no ads.
Right.
You know, whatever. But it's one of those things where these are a standard 30-minute animated show. This isn't like a 10-minute animated short or a, you know, whatever that kind of thing is. Probably about 5 minutes before the episode was going to end, I immediately knew it was the damn caddy. Because mm-hmm. they kept mentioning, you know, the point in the episode where the caddy goes up to, oh, gee, Mr. Rogers, you're the best, and yeah, I want to strive to be just like
well,
you.
Well, it had to be
like,
because he's the only person they gave any time to after the
right, end. Right, exactly. Yeah.
He's the only not Chris Paul, not Mystery Gang that they that gets a single second, besides the little kids.
Yeah.
The only other person that it could have even close, they kind of show the teacher for a minute.
Yeah.
The old lady, the runner or the secretary or superintendent or who, I don't even know what her position was, but she seems to be somewhat in charge. But they show like the random three bad guys, quote unquote bad guys, suspects at the beginning that they do the mm-hmm. funny thing to. Then they never show them again, really. And then they show that old lady two or three times and the caddy two or three times.
Yeah.
Like, you need to do more to mask who it is.
Yes.
In my opinion. I know it's a kid's show, but I still want to not be able to just process of elimination. Well, this is the only person that had a scene, so it has to be him.
Yep. Yeah, that could use some work. So, for those that don't remember here on Tooncast, or at least when we did, we're doing Tooncast Beyond, when Optimus Soul came up with the new format, we have this thing called How the Show Stacks Up. I took one of these, there were originally four questions in here. I took one of them out because it doesn't make any damn sense to this specific series. How does the show compare to other shows within the same franchise? Okay, so 50 years of Scooby-Doo. Obviously, this is a direct kind of homage to the original new Scooby movies. But how, just based on this first episode, how do you feel, and the overall premise of this of the series, how do you feel it stacks up with, like, Be Cool Scooby-Doo, or like you mentioned earlier, Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., or even the original from 1969?
I would take some of the classic ones from the 70s, you know, maybe even 80s over it. I would probably take Mystery Inc. over it. I didn't watch enough of Be Cool Scooby-Doo because it just didn't do anything for me. So for me, this is kind of like, just based on one episode, I would put it at this moment right in the middle of the pack. Like, it's not going to be in my top couple series. It's not probably the worst I've seen.
Yeah, for me, I'm right there with you. Obviously, the original Scooby-Doo from 1969 is the best version of it, at least, whatever, you know.
Not even the ones, the closest ones to it, like the Scooby-Doo movies right now are better than this.
Yeah.
Based on just one episode.
Yeah. How does it stack up against shows in the same genre? Well, it's animation.
Scooby's
its own genre.
Scooby's almost its own genre. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Nah, there are some other mystery shows out there, but there's not very many. So there's not a lot to stack it up against. Back in the day, there would have been a lot to go up against because in, like, the mid-late 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of gangs of people that were solving mysteries or solving crimes or stuff like that, but that has really become somewhat of a thing of the past, or even Scooby has almost come to monopolize that genre, so there's not a lot to compare to today.
That's very true. All right, so we're going to enter the GCRN Universal Rating System, 0 to 5. I will have the rating system link in the podcast episode description, folks, so you can go and see how our ratings are described and things like that. For me, I'm probably going to give this first episode, I hate to do this, but it's probably a 2.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, I would probably be somewhere real close to that, like 2, 2.5, somewhere in there.
Yep.
It has potential to be better.
Yes, absolutely.
Better story writing.
Yeah. Better story writing and better guests. Which better guests are coming. when and where? It's on Boomerang. It's on the Boomerang app. That's pretty much where it is, folks. I don't believe they're showing it on Cartoon Network or anywhere else like that. It is exclusive to the Boomerang streaming app. And as I said earlier, you know, they reveal the new guest each week. So there's that. I wonder if this would ever hit DVD. I mean, I know DVD's kind of antiquated at this point, because...
It'll hit disc at some point.
At some point, maybe.
Yeah, it'll probably hit it within the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, something like that. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to close the show after
because
this.
The world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinemageek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
We are back, and it is time for last words here on ToonCast Episode 231, the beginning of our 13-episode arc for Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. What are your final words on this episode and so far for the series?
This episode, I wouldn't say is a great episode for me. I think it leaves some to be desired, but I wouldn't write off the series based on just this episode. I think there's enough that's working for it that with the right guest, the right mystery, and a little bit more on the suspects and a little bit less on the guest focus, that it has potential. So I wouldn't stop watching it based on this episode, but I wouldn't recommend this episode to many people either.
Yeah. And I'll say this, folks, this is not a... series that is continuity driven, so you can watch these however you want to. These are single episode things. They're not all super interconnected or anything like that. So
there you go.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to us here on ToonCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts from ToonCast, from Powers of Grayskull series, from The Pullbag, Cinema Geeks, Movie We Can Review, all kinds of stuff GeekCast Radio related over there at the website. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist is Spreaker. Check us out on all those podcasting places there. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. At GeekCast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at GCR and ToonCast for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out ToonCast, All Tunes All the Time over there on Facebook as well. I don't have the link for that right off the top of my head. I should, but I don't. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.